All right, well, it is a tremendous schuss to have you here. So I think, I don't know, was anyone from the Chevra here last year?
No.
Sorry, so you're here in our new building, Baruch Hashem. We just moved into this a couple of months ago, Baruch Hashem. So now we apologize. Not all together yet. So like you can see, like a lot of stuff is moving in different places. But it's a great schuss, Baruch Hashem, to welcome Machon Ora to our Beis HaKnesses, to our Beis Medrash here, and just to share with you a few words. I'm standing between you and dinner. Is that correct? Okay, good. Not a good speaking spot to be in, but I will make it short. Okay, so I wanted to share with you something interesting that I always found incredibly fascinating, and it's a detail, but it's a detail that has a lot of profundity and a lot of power to it. There is a mitzvah in this week's parsha. Anyone know which mitzvah is contained in this week's parsha? Gid-anosha. Excellent. What is the mitzvah of Gid-anosha? Anyone know? Not to eat what? Now, it's a gid hanasha, quite literally, is the sciatic nerve. You're not allowed to eat the gid hanasha of the animal. Now, by the way, just as an aside, does anyone know why this is an incredibly peculiar mitzvah and makes it unique amongst all of the other mitzvahs in the Torah? I'm sorry. So it's a mitzvah lo sase, but is it the only mitzvah lo sase? No, we've got plenty of those. Good but true. What else?
I don't think it's repeated after celebrations.
Excellent. What's your name?
You're going to be here one the whole time.
Okay, fantastic. Incredible, right? So first of all, this is fascinating. Just as an aside, there is a klal, there is a principle that is brought down in the Yerushalmi. The principle says, Ein lemeidin davar mikodem matan Torah. Who could translate that for me? Ein lemeidin davar mikodem matan Torah. Excellent. There's no mitzvos before. In other words, anything written in the Torah before matan Torah, before Har Sinai, does not create halachically binding obligations. And this is actually quite fascinating, right? Because think about this in just a moment. Which mitzvos do we have in the Torah before Matan Torah? Bris Milah. But interestingly enough, Bris Milah is repeated again in Parshas Tazria. Good, what else do we have? Peru Revu, right? So Peru Revu is interesting. So Peru Revu is not a contradiction because interestingly enough, the mitzvah Piria Berivya is actually a mitzvah on all humanity. Granted that, again, as Jews, we have different details of that mitzvah, but it's a global mitzvah, right? Other one that was mentioned was Kiddush HaChodesh. So, okay, that's a kasha. We're going to deal with that when you'll come back next year, Mirat Hashem. Right? But in general, whenever you find a mitzvah stated before Matan Torah, it's always unique. Gid HaNosha is one of the only mitzvahs that is written before Matan Torah and is not repeated afterwards. And this is interesting because, remember, you have Parsha Shemini, that goes in depth in the laws of kashrus. The Torah could have easily repeated it over there, but yet the Torah Kedosha doesn't. Which tells you that there's something, now in general, whenever something also comes, let me ask you this question. Why do you think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to mention Gid HaNosha here, and let's say not wait till after Matan Torah? Any thoughts about that? So good. So Pashat answer is to connect it to the story. Good, which we're going to get to in just a moment. But I think also in general, whenever you find the Torah mentions something, especially in Bereshis, it means that there is a tremendous life application. Because think about this. What is Chumash Bereshis all about? Oh, wow. Okay, excellent. Right. Myself a similar bottom. Excellent. Good. Right. Now, by the way, what does myself a similar bottom mean? Good, I know what it means. Thank you. Right? Am I so good? Thank you. Whatever happened to the Torah, that was good. What does it mean, myself a similar bonim?
It means the things that the avos did have created a reality for the children.
Beautiful. Things that the avos did have created a reality that is replicated for the children. So, right? Give me a simple example of that in Sefer Bereishis. A simple example?
To show that was the first place where you utilized.
Excellent. Excellent. Good. Give me another simple example of it. Excellent, right? This one of the first times that Ramban brings it down is exactly this example. Avram Avinu. Excellent. Left, he right. He goes down because of Rab and he goes. Wow, you girls are phenomenal. It's incredible. Wow.
No,
Baruch Hashem. I just, okay, fine. Still, you were taking. what it shows is it's not in your short-term memory, right? Because if it was just committed to your short-term memory, you would forget it right after the test. Obviously, it imprinted upon your neshamas as well. Take a little bit of credit for that, right? It's not just the test. The test is the vehicle, but you still retain the information. So incredible. Myself is on the bottom. But myself is on the bottom. The Baal Shem Tov says also means something different. Not different, but additional. Myself is on the bottom means that there are some things that occur that occurred to our ancestors that represent realities of the human condition. The Torah, the stories of the Torah are not just, we know, the stories of the Torah are not just there for the stories, right? Because if they're there for the stories, there's so much information that's missing from these stories. The stories that are brought down in the Torah are there because they convey to us tremendous life lessons. I'll give you a simple example of this. Right? How many days did HaKadosh Baruch Hu take HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create the world?
Six.
Six, right? Although either way is right. Six or seven, because on Shabbos Hashem created the concept of Menucha, right? Does anyone understand the creation story? Anyone understand it? No. You can't understand why does the creation story make no sense? Why does it make no sense? Well, I shouldn't say it makes no sense. Why is it difficult for us to comprehend?
We have no concept of creating something
for nothing. Excellent. Excellent. The Ramban brings down this concept of Yesh Me'ayin. We have no concept. In other words, what humanity, what we're able to do is we could take something very big and reduce it down to very small particles, and we could take very small particles and ultimately build them into something bigger. But we cannot take nothing and create something. By the way, you can't really even take something and make it into nothing. Right? Because nothing, we know, still has atomic particles. There's no such thing. You can't. So this whole idea of Hashem taking Ba'aretz as a so vavo, astonishingly empty, something that is absolutely empty and making it into something we don't know. Good. What else do we understand about the creation story? First of all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? What was before? Hayav, right? So how does all this work? How does all this work? What else don't we understand? Okay, first of all, 6 days. How long is 6 days? Oh, so first of all, excellent. Like, in other words, that even the concept of time, was time created at creation, was said right there. You know how everybody gets all hung up, like on dinosaurs and carbon dating, and they say, oh, the world is only 5,786 years old, and the carbon dating is wrong. First of all, again, there's a very simple resolution. The world is 5,786 years old from the close of creation. Creation itself could have been billions of years. And could there have been dinosaurs that roamed the earth and were extinct? Of course, it's not. To think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu operated on a 24-hour day, and therefore 7 days means 7 days, means to limit HaKadosh Baruch Hu to our construct of time, which would be ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It could very well be that, quote-unquote, the 6 days of creation were billions upon billions of years. We have no idea, because time itself is a human construct. As was just mentioned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is timeless. What does it mean to be past, present, and future? HaYehovah V'yeh means time doesn't apply to you. Time doesn't apply to you. So if we don't understand the creation story, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it in the Torah? What's the answer? To learn from it. Good. To learn what? Excellent. Good. Good. You're holding him right. It's like first Rashi and Chumash. Right? First Rashi and Chumash. Rashi's bothered by this idea. No one understands the Genesis narrative. So why don't you just begin with? Good. Which mitzvah? HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. Why go through the whole Genesis narrative? Why go through the whole creation story? So Rashi HaKadosh says it's to cement our claim to Eretz Yisrael. I want to tell you something amazing. Do you know why the Torah tells us the whole creation story? The Medrash says that before HaKadosh Baruch Hu created our world, He created hundreds and thousands of other worlds. There are hundreds of thousands of worlds created before ours. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them. They didn't work out. And He destroyed them until He finally created this world that we have. What's the obvious Shaila on the Medrash? So first of all, that's a downer, right? But yes, this world didn't work out as HaKadosh Baruch Hu planned it either. True. What else?
Hashem knew those
words. Right. What's the pshat? What's the pshat? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're God. You actually can get it right the first time. Yes.
Yeah. Hashem is perfect.
Exactly. And you know, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says something so beautiful, that the whole creation story is to model for us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is modeling for us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have gotten it right the first time, and he could have created a perfect world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us that sometimes in life, you don't get it right the first time. And what do you do when you work on something and it doesn't work out the first time? What do most of us do? We give up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu models for us that no matter how many times you fail, get back up and try again. That's the whole story of Bereishis. And even HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Remember, does creation, before we even get to Adam and Chava or anything else, does creation work out as HaKadosh Baruch Hu planned it? No. Give me the proof to that. Beautiful. Give me an excellent, give me an example even earlier than Adam about the imperfection of the world. Excellent. Excellent, right? Remember again, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be Tam Eitz Kepirio. The trees were supposed to taste like the fruit. The fruit tastes like the fruit. The trees taste like the fruit. And the trees disobeyed. The Maharal asks in Gur Aryeh, how do trees disobey? Trees don't have Bechira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is modeling for us something so profound. Sometimes in life, you put a lot of effort into something and you want it to turn out a particular way. And what happens? It doesn't work out. Most of us just say, didn't work out. I'm done. I tried. I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu models for us. No, no. You tried. Things don't go the right way. Try again. But I tried five times. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? I tried, so to speak, hundreds of thousands of times. And I couldn't get the world the way I wanted it. And even when I finally got to this world is far from perfect. Why am I sharing this with you? Because almost everything in Bereishis, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving us the building blocks to build successful lives. The beauty of Torah. And I know sometimes, we're amongst friends, so we'll talk honestly. Sometimes in school, you don't always get the beauty of Torah, right? Why? Because you're in school. You're in school. You have to take tests. There's a lot of things. And that's important because, again, tests teach you achrayas. Achrayas is one of the most important traits in order to be a successful Jew and a successful human being. But sometimes, you know, when it becomes like something you have to study for, you don't feel it. And that's part of your nisayon in school. To be able to feel the masikos, the beautiful sweetness and greatness and holiness of Torah, yes, even though you have tests. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, like Chazal tell us, hafach ba, the hafach ba, the kula ba. Everything is in Torah. Everything in life, you need to be successful. Every life lesson, every nugget of important life hadracha you need to be successful is in the words of the Torah HaKadosha. You just have to know how to look at it. You have to know the lens to use. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the opening psuk, in Bereishis Bara Elokim, why am I learning this story? You know I'm learning it? Because all of us are creators, right? What are we trying to create? What are we trying to create? Ourselves. We're trying to create our lives. And the most frustrating thing in the world is when I try and I really put in the effort and I fail. And it happens to all of us. Just most of humanity, when they fail, throw in the towel and give up. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects more from us. He expects us to fail. Remember, this is very important, girls. I don't know if anyone's ever told you this. You are supposed to fail. You are destined to fail. You are going to fail. You're like, oh my gosh, where did we just come, right? You're going to fail. Sometimes we have this expectation that we're always going to be successful. Like, we're always going to be successful, right? Anyone here ever have a test that you legitimately studied for and still did badly on? Yeah, that was most of my schooling career, actually, except I didn't study that hard. Right? But again, right? Again, and it's the most frustrating thing in the world. Get ready to fail. Be prepared to fail. You're going to fail, and you're going to fail repeatedly. And whatever failures you've experienced in life up until this point, it's nothing compared to the failures you are going to experience in life. That's, I know, a little bit of a downer, but unequivocally true. Unequivocally true, because there are people who go through life and they expect to be successful at every turn. They expect everything to go their way at every turn. And then when it doesn't, they're disappointed, disillusioned, and they experience yayosh. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiviyachol could fail, which he did hundreds of thousands of times, whatever this means, and he got back up and rebuilt, then Malachas Kama Vakama, we have the ability to rebuild as well in the aftermath of failure as well. That's just Bereshis. Let's spend 2 minutes on Gid Hanasha. So now that Gid Hanasha is in Sefer Bereshis, what does that tell us? That somehow embedded in this mitzvah is a life lesson for us. So what's the life lesson of Gid Hanasha?
Yaakov failed. He didn't win the battle.
Yaakov failed. He didn't win the battle. Is that true?
Yeah.
Why? You're saying...
He had a stalemate.
He spoke to the
rep.
So I'm no one to disagree with Rabbi Lopiansky, but I would disagree with Rabbi Lopiansky. It wasn't a stalemate. Yaakov Avinu won. He won. The Ramban says that he won. Why? Because sometimes winning is just remaining standing. Winning is a relative term. Winning doesn't always mean that someone else is on the ground and you're standing. Sometimes winning is just being able to hold your ground. So what, right? That, did he say that? Okay, good. Okay, good. I don't want to disagree with Lubyansky. Good. So he didn't fail. So what's the lesson? So first of all, lesson, another idea, lesson of Gid Hanasha. Beautiful, beautiful. In other words, you can't rely on physical strength to be successful in life, right? Perhaps the sturdiest part of the body is the leg. It gives us the whole grounding. Sometimes you can't rely on your physical strength. Beautiful, beautiful. You know, the Chizkuni brings down something amazing. This is wild. The Chizkuni says that the whole point of Gid Hanasha is it represents the failure of Klal Yisrael. When does the Malach start out with Yaakov? What's the introductory phrase? Remember to Vayivaser Yaakov Levado. The Chizkuni says, Vayivaser Yaakov Levado. Yaakov was alone. Yaakov had at that point in time 11 sons. 11 sons. And they were grown men. How is it that Yaakov Avinu was left alone? Says the Chizkuni. The reason we don't eat Gid Hanasha is to remind us no Jew left behind. We always look out for each other. We never forget one another. The Sefer Achinuch brings down that we don't eat Gid Hanasha because what Yaakov Avinu experienced with the Malach of Esav is a metaphoric foreshadow for what we're going to experience throughout the ages with Esav. Right? Again, Esav is always going to attack us. Esav is always going to harm us. But like Yaakov Avinu, we stand our ground. Yes, we may be limping. We may be battered, bruised, and hurt. But Am Yisrael has the strength, the staying power that no other nation has. But I want to share with you one last idea. And this to me is the most incredible thing. Some of the Mefarshim bring down an incredible insight that Vayivasa, Sfarno, others bring it down, that Vayivasa, Yaakov Avinu, and this is very interesting. Remember, anyone know the body of water that Yaakov Avinu crossed back over when he got attacked by the Malach of Esav? I'm sorry? Excellent. Ma'avar Yabok, Nachal Yabok. By the way, just so you should know, if you're ever in Eretz Yisrael, this is actually really incredible. If you're ever in Eretz Yisrael and you take the road? If you drive out of Yerushalayim, if you ever go like to Ein Gedi and Masada, so the road dead ends, and to the right, it's Road 90. I forgot. It's the Bekat HaYarden Road, Jordan Valley Road. If you ever go down the Jordan Valley Road, actually you'll see a sign for Ma'avar Yabok. Now, I don't know. It's right after a place called Ras Al Yahud. Anyone ever been to Ras Al Yahud? Ras Al Yahud is on the Jordan River. It's, they say, the spot where Yehoshua led Klal Yisrael across the Yarden. And we know that because, again, by this area of it, you can see Yericho is right up on top of the hill. It's pretty incredible. It's not far from there is Ma'avar Yabok. So some of us should bring us something amazing. Do you know why Yaakov Avinu went back over Ma'avar? Why did he go back? Anyone know why did he go back? Pachim Kitanim. Rashi Shacha Pachim Kitanim. So some of us should bring that. That's not why he went back. He went back because he had a last minute change of heart. And he decided that he was going to run from Esav. That's what he decided. As much as he was prepared to meet Esav, right? Tefillah, Darun, right? Milchama, he was all ready to meet Esav. He had a last minute change of heart. I'm running. I'm not doing this. I'm not confronting. And so he was beginning to go ahead and he was ready to begin crossing his family back over Ma'avar Yabok to avoid confrontation with Esav. Then something amazing happens. Right as he crosses over, what happens? What happens? Malach attacks him. How long did the fight go on until?
Morning.
What happened first thing in the morning? Esav showed up. And therefore, do you know what happened over here? The Malach was dispatched by HaKadosh Baruch Hu for one simple reason and one reason only. to prevent Yaakov Avinu from fleeing, to prevent him from running. And where did the Malach injure him? The injury is a very specific injury. Where does it injure him? Gidanosha. What happens? You should never know, but what happens if you get injured in your Gidanosha? You limp. And if you limp, you can't run. You can walk very slowly. So the Mefarshim bring down something absolutely amazing, which is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu prevented Yaakov Avinu from running. Because Yaakov Avinu, remember again, when we're first introduced to Yaakov Avinu, how are we introduced to him? Ishtam. Ishtam Yoshev Olam. What does it mean to be an Ishtam? What does it mean? Simple man. What does it mean to be a simple man? Right? I'm sorry? Very pashit. Very. But you know what's interesting about Yaakov Avinu? If you notice something about Yaakov Avinu is conflict averse. Right? How do Yaakov Avinu does not really want to engage in conflict. Where do we see that? Where do we see that? Do you know what the biggest kasha on the Yaakov and Esav story is? The biggest kasha on that story is Yaakov bought the Bechorah. The Bechorah was his. He was his. Why are you sneaking around dressing up as your brother? I got it. Everyone says it was Rivka's plan. Why is he? Hey, mom, I don't need to do this. I bought the Bechorah fair and square. And after everything goes down and Esav is ready to kill Yaakov, what should Yaakov have said to his big brother? What should he have said? What are you talking about? I bought it from you. Remember when you gulped down the red lentil soup? I bought it from you. What are you doing? Right? You're the Ganav. What are you telling me that I stole the brachas from you? But he doesn't do that. Instead, what does he do? What does he do? He runs away from home. And fast forward a little bit. When things aren't good with Laban, he calls Rachel and Leah, right? And what does he do? He runs away. Yaakov Avinu is conflict averse. The way Yaakov Avinu deals with difficult people in his life is he runs. He runs. And by the way, there's a beautiful mitzvah to being conflict averse. There's something to that, to being like a Rodev Shalom. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Yaakov Avinu a very important lesson. You can't spend your life running from your problems. Because if you try to run from your problems, what always happens? Not only do they catch up with you, but your problems always run faster than you do. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yaakov, you got to stop. You got to stop. I got it. You're conflict averse. You're an Ishtam Yoshev Olam. You're so pure. You're so tamim. You're so good. And now you have to develop the ability to confront the things you fear most. And for Yaakov Avinu, the thing he feared most in this world was Esav. In this case, it was Esav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm sorry, Yaakov. I'm not going to let you run. And so he summons the Ish. The Ish fights with him until morning, injures him in the Gid Hanasha. And so Yaakov, by the time Yaakov Avinu gets himself together, Esav is already approaching. There is no choice but to engage. And perhaps this is the message of Gid Hanasha. You know, if we're honest, we're all running from something. Right? I don't know how it is to you guys, but I found that often, like in schooling years, you know, usually if there's a subject you don't end up doing well in. So what do you usually say about that subject? I don't like it. Right? I'm not good at it. I'm not good at it. Right? People says, I'm not good at it. Do you know what I'm not good at it is? I'm not good at it is a cop-out. It's running. Now, it's true. People have different strengths. Not everyone is proficient in every single thing. But not doing well in something once, twice, five times doesn't mean you're not good at it. It might mean you need a different strategy, you need a different approach. And then what happens is once I'm not good at it, once I say I'm not good at it, then what? Then what? Right? Then I just avoid it. Then I just run. And as you get older, so ultimately, again, we avoid more and more things. Right? And as we get older, we all have in life difficult relationships. Right? Everybody has difficult relationships. And with someone at some point. And so often the way that people deal with difficult relationships is they run away. They run away or they just like ignore it. I'm not going to deal with it. Almost as if like I don't deal with it or I just distance myself from it. Somehow it's going to get better. And as you go through life, these issues become more acute and more pronounced. And it is the most natural reflex to run away from your problems. Yaakov Avinu did it. And if Yaakov could do it, I could do it also. There's only one problem. You can't keep running. At a certain point in time, you have to stand your ground and you have to confront. If you want to be a successful Jew, You have to be able to stare down your fears and say, I'm not running from things anymore. I'm not running from difficult situations. I'm not running from difficult people. I'm not running from challenges. I'm not running from failures. I'm going to find the strength to stay in place and to confront. And that's the message of Gid Hanasha. Al Kain, lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael's Gid Hanasha. So we don't eat Gid Hanasha. And every single time we don't eat Gid Hanasha, when you give up, right? When you give up your Gid Hanasha, what are you giving up? You're giving up the ability to run away. You're giving up the ability to run and to flee from your problems. And by giving up the Gid Hanasha, what you're saying to yourself is, I'm strong. I'm confident. Whatever comes my way, I can handle. And I'm going to resist the temptation to flee in the face of difficulty and adversity. I'm going to stand my ground and I'm going to confront. I'm going to stand my ground, and as scary as that is, I'm going to believe in myself and believe with complete siyata d'shmaya that I have the ability to master whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends my way. That, girls, is the message from Gid Hanasha. Let me end with the following. If you internalize this when you're young, and you're all young, you're just getting started in life, if you internalize this now, you will be so ridiculously successful in life. Successful in all of your various roles, because we all wear multiple hats as you go through life. And so often, we fail to accomplish the things we're capable of because we run scared. Because we run from challenge, we run from difficulty, we run from the things that are hard for us. But if you internalize the message of Gid Hanasha now while you are young, and you say to yourself, I am not running from everything. I'm a Jew. I'm a child of the Avos and the Maos. I have the ability to confront whatever comes my way. There is no telling how much success, how much hatzlacha, and how much bracha you will encounter, Mir Hashem, in the years ahead. So thank you for being here. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Make yourself at home. You're going back after this? Okay. And safe travels and a good Shabbos, everyone. Good Shabbos. Have a good evening, everyone. My pleasure, my pleasure. Oh, I'm supposed to have you here. Good. Do you have everything you need here?
Okay.
Fantastic, fantastic. Enjoy, enjoy. Good Shabbos.